بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. One of the very important topics for all human beings throughout the span of time, throughout history, and today, which has become more the center of attention in this day and age for various reasons, is spirituality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human soul such that it longs to be with the Lord. It wants to be with the Lord. It wants to be moving towards perfection and accomplishing that goal of creation. But for various obstacles, the human being has, for a very long time, tried to stay away from this. And now we see there's more and more movement towards spirituality. The thirst is there, the want is there, there are plenty of books that have been written on it, and plenty more that are being written, plenty of lectures, sessions, classes, and so on and so forth. People are resorting to Buddhism and Hinduism and other forms of spirituality. Within Islam, people are moving towards Sufism in a very particular sense of the word, and so on and so forth. What I feel with regards to the topic of spirituality is similar to many of the other topics that we have, that people, all of us, myself included, we have this drive, this inclination towards something, in this case spirituality. However, when it comes to knowing what it actually is that we want, what it is that we're trying to move towards, what this spirituality is, then there's a huge inadequacy of information, or a huge misunderstanding or lack of understanding of what it is. I'll give you some examples. People sometimes get sick of the material life. They have so much of it. They enjoy themselves in multiple material ways. They have all the fun of their lives. Then gradually they start to feel empty inside. I've had whatever this world can offer me, but it doesn't quench my thirst. There's something else that I want. So they just want to feel better. As I said, people are born with this. God has made this a need, a want, a drive, an inclination within the human being. Whatever of the material world we obtain, whatever, even if we have the best cars, multiple homes, the best equipment, facilities, cars, homes, large bank accounts, and so on and so forth. Even if we have all of that, we still don't feel that our thirst has been quenched because there's something else that we want. So when people feel that they're empty, they still don't have what they really want, they look for something else to enjoy themselves with. And that's where they resort to spiritual talks. Something that's beyond the material world. They look beyond it. But the type of talks, lectures, the type of concepts that they're looking for and they feel like they or their thirst has been quenched with is, for example, Buddhism, that or Hinduism, that gives us something non-material, something ambiguously non-material, It gives us a feeling of attachment towards something. And then when we're together with others, it gives us a sense of satisfaction. I've heard people talk about certain experiences of people, masters of some sorts, that talk about certain modes of meditation in which they're able to obtain certain abilities through it and see certain light and so on and so forth. And that gives them a feeling of satisfaction. When it comes to the Muslims, some of the things that cause the youth and others, anyone who's looking for spirituality, to feel like there is something spiritual in a story or in a person is where there's talk of some form of relationship with the unseen. And sometimes it has to do with a form of power, something that's a supernatural power that a person has. For example, knowing that a person has a form of istikhara, like when they open up the Quran, they're able to know certain things about our intention of why we wanted the istikhara done. And they may give us some form of guidance with regards to what to do. That is something they must have gotten and obtained from the unseen. Or the interpretation of dreams, people having these dreams and then having an interpretation of them. Seeing certain things in dreams, these become means through which people feel satisfaction. The question is this really spirituality? What is it that we are looking for in spirituality? So in order to answer that question, we'd like to go over some of the verses of the Holy Quran and give us an outline, try to have an outline of what spirituality actually is, and at least have a very basic understanding of how to accomplish and achieve that spiritual goal. Before I mention it and what some of the verses say, I need to say that this is something that true spiritual trainers should be speaking of. The instructions come from them, those who've actually arrived there, those who have moved forward in it, can only look back at someone like myself and others who resemble me and tell us how we can move up the ladders and how we're going to be able to move in that direction. Otherwise, someone like myself, who has still not obtained anything, cannot really guide anyone in that direction. So all I'm doing is trying with the limited ability that I have by the grace of God is to understand some of the verses that we have, just the apparent meaning of these verses, so that we have that basic knowledge. Hopefully He guides us further and we obtain the real and true knowledge of this through experience and through those spiritual experiences. In the Holy Quran, one of the things that's very clear with regards to spirituality is that spirituality is considered a journey. It is considered a journey that has a point of departure and in a sense, a destination, or maybe it's more accurate to say a certain direction that we're moving towards. This destination has an end, but as we will see, there seems not to be an end to this journey, but rather it's a direction. There's many verses of the Holy Quran that allude to this and discuss this matter. One of them is in Surah Al-Baqarah. It's a verse that many of us are familiar with as part of what we call Ayatul Kursi, although technically it's actually not part of Ayatul Kursi, as Ayatul Kursi is verse 255 alone in Surah Al-Baqarah. However, Usually we accompany Ayatul Kursi with two verses that follow, which are 256 and 257 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And this particular verse that I am pointing to or alluding to is verse 257 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very, very beautiful fact in this verse. Of course, a dangerous one as well, but the beautiful one is at the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guardian of alladhina amanu, those who believe. I don't want to spend much time getting into the details of what this verse is trying to give us. It's a very brief explanation of the verse to then move further on. So he's the guardian of those who believe, alladhina aman. What is this guardianship manifest in? What does it realize in? It manifests in yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumat ila an-nur. He removes them. He helps them move away from adh-dhulumat, darkness, or the depths of darkness, into nur. So this is the journey. We're moving away from darkness. That's the point of our departure, in a sense. And there's a destination that's referred to here in this verse as nur, light. What is darkness, or what are the depths of darkness? If I want to put it in just a few words so we have an understanding without getting into too much detail, is that anything other than the divine compared to the divine would be considered a dhulma. It would be considered darkness. Anything but the divine is darkness, because nothing has light in and of itself. Everything is darkness in and of itself. That's the general concept, but something a little more tangible. The material pleasures, the material world, the material self, the self, the nafs itself, these are all dhulumat that the human being has got to depart from and leave and enter nur. What is nur? I think I already alluded to it, but this verse says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the guardian, removes the believers from the depths of darkness into light. It's interesting to note that in the Arabic of the verse, al-dhulumat is plural. It means there's multiple dhulma, there's multiple darknesses. But when it comes to light, it's singular in form. It's an-nur. It doesn't say anwar. It's not plural. There's only one light. And when we make reference to the Holy Quran itself again, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the light of the heavens and the earth. The journey of spirituality starts at this very low self, very low world, the dunya, the material world, and the material self. And we're supposed to move towards the divine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something that's repeated throughout the verses of the Holy Quran. We're not moving towards istikhara. We're not moving towards tayyul al. We're not moving towards anything or anything except for the divine himself. This is what true spirituality, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, is. One of the other verses that talks about this is, and it fits in with the metaphor of a path or a journey, are the verses that talk about a path. The verse in Surah Al-Hamd that we constantly recite on a daily basis, at least 10 times a day, is that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying that There is only God that we worship, and there is only God that can help us. We say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the right path. Guide us to the straight path. In that surah, we say, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His blessings and His mercy upon. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Not the ones that have been dismissed with God's wrath, or the ones that are misled and lost, actually. A ضال is a person who is lost. They don't have any particular direction. We don't want to be of those that are lost, and we don't want to be those who tread the path that leads towards the wrath of the Divine. We want to be moving on the path that those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of their moving towards Him, has bestowed His greatest blessings and His greatest mercy upon, we want to tread that path. Now, one of the other verses of the Holy Quran very beautifully mentions the fact that we previously mentioned again, that the destination, in a sense, or in another sense, the direction of this journey is God. It says in Surah Shura, verses 52 and 53, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll read the end of verse 53. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهَدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And you guide towards a straight path. The same wording that is used in Surah Al-Hamd and other verses. And then it says in the following verse, 52, صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ. The path of God. What does it mean, the path of God? It means the path that leads to God. Especially since, after mentioning a few attributes, it says, صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. The path of the God who everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Him. It says then, أَلَا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورِ. Towards God, everything is moving, and everything, which has a very in-depth interpretation that some of the scholars and urafa and the teachers of the Hawza have explained. But the point that we're trying to take from it is that it explicitly mentions that this path is towards the Divine. That's what we want. There's other verses that talk about this with the wording of liqa, when you're moving towards someone, arriving at the destination is where you meet the person. So again, that same metaphor of a journey and a path and a destination, or as I said, a direction, is something that we find in all of these verses. But what is this path? This is a metaphor, in a sense. We need to leave the nafs. We need to leave the nafs. We need to leave this material world, this temporal world. We need to even leave the mithali world, realm of existence, and leave everything except for the Divine. We need to move in that direction. But what is treading this path mean? When you walk on earth, the way you're going to be traveling a distance is you walk, you use your feet, you walk. Or if you're traveling by car, the wheels are going to be turning and you are going to be stepping on the gas pedal and so on and so forth. If you're traveling in the water, if you're going on your own, you're going to be moving your limbs in a different way. That's how you tread the path, that's how you move forward. So the question we have here is, how do we tread this path? If we want to arrive at that destination, if we want to get there, what's the path? And this is after having a good understanding, or a relatively good basic understanding of Islamic spirituality, in the sense of where is the point of our departure, what we're trying to move away from, and what we're trying to arrive at. And the question, the very important question, is how do we do it? This is a very important question that people are wondering throughout the globe. Everywhere. People go to Qom, they're seeking that. Scholars go to different countries and visit, people ask them those questions. Everybody's looking for the path. How do we do this? And everybody's looking for something unusual. There's something there that if I do, there's some secret. And the word secret is mentioned plenty of times in the Quran and the Hadith. When it comes to instructions, there are certain secrets that we're looking for. Let me put this out very clearly and very bluntly. There are no shortcuts. The path towards the divine starts, and I emphasize, it starts with a very basic step that 99.9% of us are struggling with. Plenty of times people went to the masters of spirituality of these ages. Atla Bahjat, may Allah bless his soul. Atla Khushbah, may Allah bless his soul. Allama Tabatabai, may Allah bless his soul. Others who are alive currently, others who passed away previously, any of their works, any of them that we would refer to, or anyone refers to, if they are a real teacher that teaches based on the Qur'an, they teach one thing that is mentioned very explicitly in the Holy Qur'an. First, let me mention the verse and then give the interpretation, the explanation, which is very basic, very simple. It's a very simple explanation of what the verse is trying to say. It's not too difficult to take that and derive that from the verse. There's a number of verses that have this message in them. A few instances are verses that Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alihi salam, is quoted. And there are some that are not quotations of Jesus. For example, in Surah Yasin, we don't find there to be a quotation from Jesus. But in some of the other verses, like Al-Imran verse 51, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes Jesus as saying this. Nevertheless, what it is the following. Verse 51 of Surah Al-Imran reads, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. إن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Lord and your Lord. Therefore, obey Him, be obedience to Him, be His slave. And then it says, هذا صراط مستقيم. This is the straight path. So the path that leads to the divine is ubudiyya, servitude, obedience. These are all the same words. So how does that translate practically? What all of those scholars that I named and others who I have not named say unanimously, based on this verse, very simply, is that when God has said you have to do something, obedience is that you need to listen to that. When God has said you have to avoid something, then obedience is that you need to avoid it. Wajib and haram. It starts here. There's a lot more to it. It's not as simple as that. But the problem is, before we get above this step, we really can't get much done. We can't, in fact, according to them, do anything and get anywhere. We're not going to be able to elevate our soul such that it is ready to receive the great blessings of the divine, the ayat that are in the unseen world. The eyes of the human being are going to be limited to what the material world has to offer as ayat and signs, as the entire world, with all that exists within it, are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not going to be ready and able to receive any more than that. So we have to make sure that we are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that we do not commit any sin. All the wajibat have got to be performed. None of the muharramat have got to be committed. These are like the chains that in Dua Kumail Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about. These are the chains that keep one down and don't allow one to move towards the divine. We need to remove these chains from our feet and from our hands. Those are obstacles. Disobedience of the Lord, that's an obstacle. Wajib and haram. We don't need to worry too much about mustahabbat. They're good, they're important. But first step is wajib and haram. Our priority should be wajib and haram. Beyond wajib and haram, there are a couple of things that the Holy Quran and the Ahadith mention as general advice. Because there are specific instructions that each person requires, and teachers have got to provide that, which I'll say a few words with regards to that at the end. The general advice that we have beyond wajib and haram, and let me clarify when I say that the most important thing is wajib and haram, I'm not trying to suggest that we shouldn't do mustahabat. Absolutely not. However, when we have our priorities mixed up and we prioritize such that wajib and haram are at the same level as mustahabat, we end up having problems because we end up sacrificing wajib for mustahab. They should not be considered the same. Priority, top priority is wajib, then mustahab. If we get to do mustahabbat, great. If we don't, we have to stick to the wajibat. And we can't sacrifice a wajib for a mustahab. Sometimes people sacrifice wajib for the night prayer. They stay up to do the night prayer, they end up falling asleep and not doing the fajr prayer. They want to help somebody, they end up missing out on their wajib obligations. We can't do that. Obligations, wajibat, they are first priority. So what are these recommendations? Two things that we have in the verses of the Holy Quran. One is dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have plenty of ahadith, plenty of verses about this. In fact, some of our obligations, the goal of why, or the philosophy behind why God has obligated us to perform them, is dhikr and remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the prayer says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." The prayer, one of the effects that it has is that it helps one avoid sins, avoid fahsha, dirty and ugly sins. But that's not the only effect. It says, "Wala dhikrullahi akbar." But the remembrance of God is the greatest. That's the most important objective of prayer. So dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day and night. If we remember Him, it actually helps to try to avoid sins. If we are remembering His presence, if we realize who He is, then that's going to help us avoid those sins. With regards to dhikr, if we don't have a good understanding, a proper understanding of who the Divine is, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, what those words mean, then when we use those words, when we say La ilaha illallah, we don't really understand what La ilaha illallah means. Dhikr is not these words. Dhikr is the remembrance that is a task performed by the heart. It's not words, it's an understanding. It's the attention of the heart towards the Divine through those different channels. Each of those words, each of those names is like a channel through which we turn towards God. So we have to have a correct understanding. We need to build in our understanding with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second advice that we have is to avoid laghu. A lot of times we get engaged and involved with activities that don't really have any significant benefit in this world or the hereafter, based on the path that we talked about. We are here on earth in order to be tested so that we can move towards the Divine. That's the whole objective. So there's part of this life that we need to cater to, and there is the needs, the spiritual needs that we need to work for. Now, with that outlook, a lot of the activities that we are engaged with on a daily basis, weekly or monthly, are activities that really don't benefit the life in this world, the life that we're supposed to be living, not the extravagant vain life, but rather the beneficial life. It's really not going to have any benefit there. A lot of times it's actually harmful. Some of the foods we eat, some of the activities that we have, they harm our physical body, and because of that we're not able to use the body that is supposed to help us get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not able to use it. So we need to avoid these things which are useless for this life and for the life of the next world and for our spiritual journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Movies, video games, there may be some here and there that we may want to watch. We may spend some time to try to refresh ourselves, but overdosing on those is lagh. It's something that we need to think twice. Before we do it, think about it. Is there really benefit to it? If there isn't, leave it. Do something else. Last couple of points that we have. This path, this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very difficult one. It's not a simple journey at all. It's extremely difficult. And like any path that in the past, we used to have thugs on the way that would come and loot the caravans that would move on those paths, this path is filled with these obstacles and these thugs. Iblis and Shaitan is the greatest thug on this way, but there's other ones as well. Shayateen of ins and Shayateen of jinn. Human beings that become Shayateen, Iblis that is referred to as the Shaitan. All of these are obstacles on the path. So when we start, a lot of times we fail. We get up to do the wajibat, a day or two later, we lose that motivation, we stop. 2-3 months, a year, 2 years down the line, we remember again. We're spiritually high for a while, then we lose the motivation again. And then eventually we're like, you know what, forget it. It's something that we can't do. This is exactly what Shaitan wants us to reach. This is the goal and the objective that Shaitan has. Shaitan wants to have us lose hope in getting anywhere, and because of that, to stop. That's exactly what he wants. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a number of things. One of them is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should not lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lose hope in yourselves, but don't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only a kafir, someone who does not know who God is going to lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone has got to keep that hope up. Because the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us as long as we want to move towards Him. We may not see it because of the difficulties, but it's definitely there. We just need to continue. With regards to this, we have plenty of verses about patience. This is what patience is all about. Sabr, patience. Patience, patience. Don't expect quick results. Don't expect that when you start that path towards spirituality that you're going to start seeing angels the next day. It's not going to happen. It may not happen for 50 years. Literally. There have been very pious people, a lot more than myself, that for 50 years they saw nothing. After 50 years, the eyes of their heart opened to the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened those eyes to the unseen. Right now, our eyes are blind. The only thing that we can see is the material world. Don't expect quick results. Don't expect that the 12th Imam is going to come in your dream or anything like that. No. Don't have any of these expectations. We are an abd. We just do what He tells us. He knows when He's going to, when we are ready, and He's going to give us more. So we need to continue and never lose hope. Have that patience. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, God only provides victory after patience. There's plenty of verses on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ahqaf verse 13 says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who said our Lord is God, and then they had forbearance, they had perseverance, they continued, they had that patience. They are the ones that لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. They reached the stage where they reached that tranquility. There's no fear and no grief for them any longer. They've arrived, they reached that destination. Only with the patience. We got to continue and push harder and harder and harder. And lastly, there's this talk about teachers. Teachers are important, but teachers are important on this path where the general advice and the general guidance that is already put before us is taken. In other words, a general principle, a general sunnah that God has, is that He gives guidance. If what He gives has been applied and implemented, He gives more. We are stuck still on the first step of doing all the obligations and avoiding all the sins. And we need to continue avoiding the sins and doing the obligations for a while until that soul has been purified from the illnesses of the soul. Then we're going to be ready for more. So teachers are important, but that's going to be after we have established this first step. So how do we go about for teachers? Again, there's a general principle in Islam with regards to this, and that is, if one is actually moving towards the Divine, moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they need extra support, Allah will definitely provide them with that, without a shadow of a doubt. But we should know, this does not mean that if I think I have avoided sins enough, then I have a dream, or I see this person on the street, or I see a YouTube clip of this person talking about spirituality, that was a divine gift for me. No. We always have a criteria that's been given to us, and that is Quran and Sunnah. If we feel that the words of this man, or this book, or that dream, or something that's beneficial from the Divine, we got to check it with the general instructions that have come with the Divine, from the Divine. We got to check the Quran and Sunnah through the scholars that are well versed. If they can clarify for us and confirm that teaching is based on the Quran and Sunnah, it's not against it, it's not going against the teachings of the Quran, then we can consider it something that may be a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, the guide, the Mahdi, that He opens our hearts, He helps us, He takes our hand, until we reach the stage where the doors have been opened to our hearts and the veils have been removed, so that we can, with the eyes of our heart, see the glory of the Divine, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.